It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I'm a Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Auric Home Centers all across the St. Louis area. All locally owned and operated. All great places for vacuum cleaners like the Magnesium RS and the whole line of Auric vacuum cleaners. But not just that. Also, all sorts of great stuff to keep your home clean. O-R-E-C-K spells Auric. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strousey and Geis in the studio with me. And also joining us now, news director Colin Jeffrey, who sheds that skin and puts on his exoskeleton as his alter ego, Showbiz Boy. Hello, Colin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing fine. So the last time I saw you was on Monday night when we both attended with our wives, and in your case, your daughter, McKenna, the new Pixar movie, Inside Out, which is going to be the big movie for this weekend.
It's a big new movie. It's still not going to catch Jurassic World.
Oh, all right. Well, let's start talking about Jurassic World for just a moment, because when you reviewed it last weekend, you said not only was it going to be one of the biggest movies of the summer, but also perhaps one of the biggest movies of all time. What are the numbers?
Well, it did just nearly $209 million domestically and a shade over $500 million when you add in the overseas markets.
I'm sorry.
That's in a weekend. That's from
you're telling me in one weekend a movie made over $500 million.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
It's huge.
Wow.
It's huge. I mean, it's giant, and it's going to hit $1 billion anytime between Monday afternoon and Thursday.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it'll be the fastest movie.
What's the biggest grossing movie of all time? How much did it make?
Avatar, $2.7 billion, followed by Titanic at $2.3. Mm-hmm. And then we get down to Avengers 1, like 1.8 or 1.9.
So it's the small independent movies that are doing well these days.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's summer after all.
Yeah. It's it's something else, because you read reviews on it, and this is a fan's movie. Not a critic's movie. That's the best way to put it. People wanted to see this. The idea of what would happen if the park was open, and they give you that. But
how does that? I mean, I know $500 billion. We're talking about a movie that's 22 years after the original. But there, as we discussed last week, there were two other Jurassic Park movies. I don't recall those as being gigantic blockbusters. Is my memory failing me?
Overall, they were not. However, their opening weekends were all among the largest ever at the time that they opened.
Wow. Okay.
So that's difficult to remember.
Okay.
And yeah, this is set up to be another big weekend for it, because the word of mouth on this is people are saying you got to go see it. It's a lot of fun, and you can't take that away. I did read a really interesting sort of thought-provoking article about it, and one of the things we say a lot is, oh, just turn your brain off. Well, you turn your brain off, you're not actively involved in kind of what you're watching. Mm-hmm. And this is a movie where you're not actively going to be involved in what you're watching, but Jurassic Park, you were. You were actively involved. It was a good sort of discussion on what would it mean if you could create dinosaurs and play God to a sense. And
right.
This is just kind of big explosions and dinosaurs chomping people.
And as you said, it's another dinosaur chase movie, as
yes.
opposed to a post-apocalyptic chase movie of Mad Max.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I still love. If you haven't seen that, go see it.
All right, let's talk about the movie that's opening this weekend, Inside Out, the new one from Pixar.
Yeah.
Who, frankly, I don't think have had a good movie in quite a few years.
Well, I might disagree with you a little bit there. I think Monsters University was good. They hit a younger demo with it. They hit kids with that. And my daughter loves it. Kids, I think, a little younger than you typically think of Pixar movies. Not sort of that tweenish and above, but kids, single digits age, really like Monsters University.
Oh, boy, that was so disappointing.
Brave, I'll agree with before that. Brave was not particularly good. Cars,
see, no, too. I disagree. I think Brave was a good movie. Not a great movie, but, I mean, if you hold it up against the Pixar great ones, Toy Story, Bug's Life, Monsters, Inc., those are the great Pixar movies, which I think Inside Out is a return to. But I thought Brave was fine. If it had been made by another studio, it would have been okay, that's a good animated movie, as opposed to Monsters University, which was just terrible.
Well, and the reason I think that Brave pales in comparison is because right before Brave, we had Cars 2 that was not good. It just was, it was a cash grab.
Yeah.
But before that, they made Wall-E, Up, and Toy Story 3.
Right.
Up and Toy Story 3, I believe, were both nominated possibly for Best Picture.
Maybe, I don't know.
I know Up was. I can't remember if Toy Story 3 was. I thought it was. And they won Best Animated Feature. I mean, those were great movies. and Wall-E I still really enjoy. But if you look back, this is the 15th Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that entire list, I might be able to name one or two stinkers, and I think those...
We just named them.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you go, you know, Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2. Okay, not as good as the original, but still fine.
Yeah.
And also not as good as that the later sequel, Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. But then you go Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars. Cars was a little bit of a slip, but not a huge one.
Yeah.
Ratatouille, fine movie. Wall-E, Up, Toy Story 3. And then you're right, Cars 2. Brave, Monsters University. Those are the last three.
Yeah, and here's something else that's interesting to know. We just named 15 animated movies,
mm-hmm.
and I know a lot of adults who've seen all 15 of those animated movies because Pixar makes animated movies that aren't Disney animated movies. I know that today I've tried to sit down and watch some classic Disney Bambi with my daughter, and by 30 minutes in, we're both kind of looking around, not paying attention. Pixar's kind of redefining what an animated movie means. I think it is just a movie that happens to be animated. It's not a kid's movie.
I also think that Disney is in the fairy tale business.
Yes.
Whereas Pixar is in the storytelling business.
Yeah.
When Dan said immediately, I think I've seen every one of those except Cars 2. In fact, I know I have. I didn't go see Cars 2. And I was actually kind of sad when they started doing that because the Toy Story movie and its two sequels, those were okay. But then when they started becoming the sequel studio with Cars 2 and Monsters University, I was so disappointed because I loved the work that these guys did for their first 5 or 10 years.
Oh, yeah. And this I will say, is a return to form to sort of classic Pixar, I thought.
Well, let's talk about what Inside Out is about.
Fair enough. Inside Out takes place, fittingly enough, inside of a young girl's head named Riley. And you see also outside how she interacts. Riley is a young girl whose family is moving from the Midwest, I believe Minnesota.
Yes.
And they are moving to San Francisco for her dad's job. And it is the story of what's happening in her head, but that isn't necessarily what's happening outside. That's important to realize. What's happening
inside her head? It's the emotions that drive her life.
Yes, there are 5 emotions. Joy, sadness, fear, disgust, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
I practiced that so I could just rattle them off.
That was good.
So those 5 emotions are portrayed by 5 little characters inside her head. Great voice acting from those 5, by the way.
Great casting.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler is Joy. Lewis Black is Anger. And by the way, there's your casting choice of the year.
Yes.
Right there, because he's so good in this.
Yes.
Mindy Kaling is Disgust. Phyllis Smith is Sadness. And Bill Hader is Fear.
Yes.
And I think, isn't Phyllis Smith from St. Louis?
She is indeed.
People might know her from The Office.
Yeah.
Yes. They are in charge of getting Riley through the day,
mm-hmm.
controlling her emotions. How will she react to this? Will she be scared? Or they all sort of have their role. And they do a great job of explaining that to you, how fear's job is to keep her safe, how anger's job is to make certain she doesn't get pushed around, how joy is to keep her sort of sunny disposition moving forward. And this is where this movie, I don't want to say blew my mind, but it kind of knocked me back because I wasn't anticipating this level of depth. They've created a whole universe inside of this head, how your emotions interact with memories and how that expresses externally to different people. And without giving too much of it away, because I don't know that I could explain it as well as they do, throughout your life, you'll make core memories that determine who you are.
Yep.
And in this case, we find young Riley with 5 of these core memories, and they power the 5 most sort of dominant traits of her personality. And in this, sadness, when she gets too close to them, can start to take over these memories. And we don't, right now they're happy memories, and sadness is trying to make them sad.
Which can happen in your regular life.
I mean,
we all have memories from when we were a kid or even when you were an adult, and certain things have happened. You remember good days, you remember bad days, and there are times when you might be feeling kind of in a blue mood. You know, you're in a funk and you start thinking about something and you start thinking, well, yeah, but that was also the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not what used to be a happy memory kind of turns sour and sad a little bit, which is what happens with some of the
exactly. These 5 core memories get lost, and joy and sadness have to go and try and get them back in order to return Riley. Well, when joy and sadness are out of the control center taking care of Riley.
Headquarters.
Yes,
because they're inside the head. You see what they did there? Headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
Things start to run amok. And so this is where they do a great job, I thought, of bouncing from what's happening outside, how Riley's, what she's experiencing being in a new place, and then inside how all the emotions are sort of realizing they have to depend on one another. And that's where sort of the Pixar kind of tug at your heartstrings comes in.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk about the sentimentality for a second. Some people might think of that as a bad word when it comes to movies. Oh, that movie was too sentimental. You remember the first 15 minutes or so, maybe it was only 10 minutes of the movie Up?
Yes.
Yes.
Where you see those two characters meeting as kids, growing up together, falling in love, starting their life together, having a family, growing old together, and all those things that are in the picture book, the photo album of their life that the wife was keeping, and now that she's gone, the husband is holding on to. That was sentimental, right? That tugged at your heartstrings, but in a wonderful way, where you could sit there and you could, particularly if you've lived a life, you could relate to a lot of the stuff and kind of share your life within the life of these characters. The first 10 minutes of this movie do exactly the same thing.
Yes.
All in the life of an 11-year-old girl. But you also see her parents, who are taking her to the hockey rink or the pond in Minnesota where they teach her how to play hockey as a little girl. And they take her to other wonderful little places and have wonderful little adventures that form some of those core memories. And by the way, all the stuff we're saying here is not spoiling the movie in any way. We're just kind of defining for you what it is you're going to see, because it's a wonderfully done movie. And that sentimentality of those 10 minutes never overwhelms the comedy of the movie or the characters of the movie, but enhances all of that and the storytelling throughout in such a wonderful way that when you get to the end, it's completely satisfying, isn't it?
Yes. I liked just about everything about this movie. There might have been some pacing things where I'm like, okay, we could have done without this, but they were so small and just sort of nitpicky that I didn't feel that way. It really is sort of just an emotional trip.
Yep.
And there's definitely scenes where you could cry. I mean, you could cry and you wouldn't be out of line. Like, it's not like
I teared up at one point. I'm not going to say what it was because I do not want to spoil it. And you mentioned the voice actors in this. The mother is played by Diane Lane. The father is played by Kyle MacLachlan. They're both very good. Richard Kind plays Riley's imaginary childhood friend.
Bing bong.
Yeah, you'll recognize his voice as soon as you hear it. Paula Poundstone and Bobby Moynihan are in there. Frank Oz from the Muppets, who created Fozzie and Miss Piggy and all those, and Yoda, who's voice of all of those. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers does some voice work.
Yes.
Rashida Jones does. Lorraine Newman, who you may think of her as just being on the original 5 years of Saturday Night Live, but she's been one of the top animated voiceover talents in Hollywood for the last 20 years or so. And of course, John Ratzenberger, who, as you know, by federal law, must have his voice in every Pixar movie.
Oh, my goodness. That is tremendous.
Yeah.
Hello, Cliffy there.
Yeah, Cliffy's in the movie. The movie's directed by Pete Docter, who did the original stories for Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. and Up and WALL-E. And I understand he's now working on Toy Story 4, which I hope is not a mistake. He's a wonderfully creative filmmaker and story writer and tells this movie cinematically brilliantly. You said you couldn't think of anything wrong with this. I actually said to my wife when we were leaving, I got to think about this because I may have to give this movie a 10. I don't know that I've ever given a movie a 10 out of 10, but let me think of what would count as a demerit in this movie that would knock it down to maybe just a 9 or a 9.5. And Colin, I've racked my brain and thought about the movie over and over again. I can't think of anything.
Really?
How would your wife like it?
She loved it. Loved it. And by the way, adults will love it. Kids will love it. Your daughter, how old is McKenna?
She's 3.5.
How did she like it?
Loved it. When she first saw the poster, she's been bouncing around and she'll just, whenever she sees anything green, she points at it and goes, disgust, because that's the shape, the color of the character. And my goodness, she loved it. My wife really liked it a lot. We were talking about it after the fact. if you have a kid, go take them to see this movie because they'll love it. And I think it might help start conversations between parents and kids because we've all had that time at either as a kid or as a parent where you say, oh, how was your day? And then, fine. Well, there's something more there.
And by the way, we should also point out, you don't just see inside Riley's head.
No, you don't.
You see inside the mother's head. You see inside the father's head and the characters that are in there who are trying to run their lives at the same time. It's very clever. Now, I have a question for you, showbiz boy.
Okay.
Why is this movie rated PG? You have a 3.5-year-old daughter who you took to see a movie. PG means parental guidance suggested. Aside from guiding your child to the movie theater, why is this not a G-rated movie? Because it's available for everyone, I think.
And we couldn't really talk about this specifically without going into too many spoilers. But one of the things you'll see when PG, they say tense situations is one of those things that comes up. And there are a few situations that are tense. And you're dealing with loss in a fairly concrete sort. And so
I know what you're talking about.
Yes. So without getting too into it, that's why they've
okay, but I'm here to tell you
you could take any kid to see this
or any adult.
Yes. And you should go if you've got a date this weekend. This is a good movie to go see.
Oh yeah, big time. Do not think of this as a kid's movie in the way that you can't think of the great original Pixar movies as a kid's movie because they work on the adult mm-hmm. level also.
It's at the drive-in.
It's at the
drive-in. Thinking about going to the drive-in. The Skyview.
Be a good place to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
now here's my other question for you. Will this be nominated for Best Picture?
Right now, I think so. I mean, we haven't seen the big fall when they bring out all the award winners. But
I think
right
it is
now,
the Best Picture of 2015 right now.
I think it's really, yeah.
I haven't given any other movies a 10, and you haven't talked about it in these terms either.
No, it's really something special, and it's my favorite or tied for my favorite Pixar movie. And I really think you should go see it this weekend.
All right. Inside Out, I give it a 10 out of 10. What do you give it?
I give it a 9 out of 10. Just pacing in the middle, like nitpicky things. But
look deep into it.
No, it's just...
He's showbiz boy. He's got amazing powers that we don't have. It's,
X-ray vision.
It's really all I could say with my daughter is it might be like 5 or 10 minutes in the middle you could have trimmed, but at the same time... I don't know what you do with them not there, but it felt a little plotting just at one point. But other than that,
I disagree. I don't think there's a sour note or a boring moment in the movie. Captivating, beautiful, beautiful. That's another word.
Yes.
I was talking about Tomorrowland a few weeks ago about how visually beautiful the movie was, even though it fails as a story. This one is even better.
And I don't know what your thoughts on this, but this is one I would recommend. Go see in 3D because they are getting you to buy into this world that they've built inside of your head, inside everyone's head. And in 3D, I thought it looked really good
but,
in 3D.
And I've complained about 3D movies before where they use 3D effects just to, have the spear coming towards the lens, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. In this movie, once it started, I forgot I was watching a movie in 3D.
I think that's good 3D.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, it's like we were discussing last week about special effects. If you think to yourself, wow, these are really good special effects, then they're not good special effects.
Exactly. Just need to believe it's all
happening. Oh, so you guys saw it in 3D.
Yeah. That was at the screening. But I think if you see it in 2D, you're going to be fine. It's just that good.
And one other thing, do you think there's a sequel coming out of this? Because this is going to make a bunch of money.
Yes, it is. It won't make $500 million, but what will it make? 200?
No, I think it'll, internationally, I think you're probably looking $500 million.
Wow.
Not this weekend.
What'll it do this weekend in the U.S.?
Oh, that's tough to say.
Is this a $100 million movie?
No, because Jurassic Park's got too many people watching it.
Mm. Are they fighting for screens?
No, but they're fighting for eyeballs. Like, that's the problem. $75 million, let's say, 70 to 75. That'd be one of the largest, that would be the third largest Pixar opening ever, I think.
Wow.
Right in that range.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I can't recommend this one enough. This is the opposite end of why I recommended Mad Max. Like, these are my two favorite movies of the year, and they couldn't be more different in how they approached just sort of getting people to buy in. I loved it.
This one has had a lot of buildup, too, to it coming in for the opening weekend and stuff.
Yeah.
You think theaters are just going to be jam-packed to go see this? Like,
I think
if you want to take a kid?
This will be the family movie of the weekend by far.
Oh, yeah.
And as to the question about a sequel, well, Pixar's done it before to good effect and also to bad effect.
Yeah.
I hope if they do it, they do it right. But I also hope they wait a few years.
Yeah.
Let a generation of kids see this movie.
Yes.
And grow up a little bit and then see what happens.
Well, Brad Bird said he's going back for Incredibles 2, and that would be 10 or 11 years after that one. So
that's about the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are more stories to tell with those characters, so that's okay.
Yes.
Other showbiz stuff we've got to get to today.
I've got quick note.
Okay.
HBO premieres their fall lineup this Sunday night. That's when they put
you
all
mean their summer lineup.
Well, they call it their fall lineup, believe it or not. I know, it's crazy. This is what they call their
fall. So is this the beginning of True Detective 2?
True Detective 2 will be their season 2, and it's got the whole new cast.
Who's in it?
Vince Vaughn. Yeah, I always get you.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. I can't remember the last two. Rachel McAdams, and I honestly can't remember the last guy's name.
Okay.
But that is Sunday night, and then there are two brand new shows premiering. Ballers with Dwayne Johnson, which he plays a retired football player who now runs maybe a sports agent or marketing type guy, and it looks like a bro comedy.
Like an Entourage kind of thing?
Yeah, that type of
thing.
Sounds
to me like Entourage meets, what was that football thing that HBO had on like 20 years ago? Maybe even longer. It was a series. Delta Burke was on it. O.J. Simpson was on it.
I don't know if I've ever...
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, what was it called?
I don't remember.
I'll think of it. First and Ten.
Yes.
Wow.
It's
called, I don't think I had
it's called
ever
First
heard of that.
And Ten. It was one of those. That was back in the days where, ooh, look, breasts. It was one of those first shows that was on there that had that male appeal.
And then their final new show is a comedy called The Brink. It stars Tim Robbins and Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Jack Black is sort of a, I don't want to say a spy, but he's an operative who's over in the Middle East, and Tim Robbins is the Secretary of State, and they're trying to avert World War III.
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy. Well,
a political intrigue spy comedy.
Yeah, sort of satire spy comedy.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a clip. I do like those two guys, but I'm telling you right now, that show's going to bomb.
I don't think it's going to do well, but I don't know that anything would because you're coming off of Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, and Veep. And we've talked about Silicon Valley. That might be the funniest comedy on TV.
Right, yeah, now. I agree. And that has its season finale this Sunday.
It had. Those are all done. Everything starts.
Oh, we already saw it?
We already saw it.
Okay.
All the season finales are done. Starting Sunday, you can catch the new HBO shows.
All right. And I just want to make mention of one upcoming movie that I read about today. Did you hear who they got to play Sully Sullenberger? Remember the pilot who landed the plane in the Hudson and saved the lives of all those people? Yeah, have you heard who they got to play him? This is casting against type. Tom Hanks.
That doesn't look like
what?
Shocker.
Yeah, because playing Jim Lovell, the hero astronaut of Apollo 13, that wasn't enough. Playing Captain Phillips in Captain Phillips, that wasn't enough. No, you got to have him as Sully Sullenberger. Directed, by the way, by Clint Eastwood, who I think needs to come back big time from Jersey Boys.
Yeah, well, he did with... American Sniper, some people said.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we were on opposite ends of the fence there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Any other stuff we have to get to?
That's all I have. Go see Inside Out.
Yes, absolutely.
Or Mad Max.
Biggest.
Oh, my goodness.
Inside Out, biggest recommendation from both of us thus far this year or for a long, long time before that. All right, Colin Jeffrey, brought to you every week by the great folks at Orrick Home Centers throughout the St. Louis area. O-R-E-C-K spells Orrick.